All right, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 12 tonight. Daniel chapter 12. I do apologize for the typos on any handouts or PowerPoints that I ever produce. I want them to be perfect, I assure you. I try to have all of that stuff wrapped up by Thursday evenings each week. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but typically it does, and sometimes it means I go to the press in the late hours of the workday on Thursdays and want to get them printed and cut and ready to go. And sometimes I guess I just don't proofread quite well. Obviously, I don't as much as I should. Daniel chapter 12. Now, listen up, because I want you to know that the book of Daniel can be broken down into two major points. The first one is the first chapters 1 through 6. You can look at that as Daniel and his pals. Daniel and his pals. His buddies. Chapter 7 through 12, Daniel and his prophecies. Okay? The book very much lays out in that way, and it's easy to tell as you're reading through it that there is a real turn at chapter 7 where you start dealing with some different issues, some much more complicated issues. Chapter 11 was probably one of the more challenging. There was, someone has said, there's at least 150 prophecies that are fulfilled in full or partially from chapters 10 through 12, but most of them would have been in chapter 11. So we come here to chapter 12 today, and I'm going to read through this passage and through this chapter. And then I'm going to go back, and we're really going to kind of work through it, looking at these verses again. The good thing about chapter 12 is that there are only 13 verses in this chapter. So that gives us a little more time to look at this chapter and try to get an understanding of it. Before I read, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word tonight that we're able to read. This word, Lord, is settled forever in heaven. It is not like the grass that withers or the flower fades, but it's settled there forever. It endures forever. And Father, I thank you tonight that every word of God is pure, and you are a shield to those who put their trust in you. I pray, Lord, tonight that your word that we hear, that we look at, will cause our faith to grow, establish us, help us to remain steadfast in the faith as we live out our lives here upon this earth, Lord, for your glory. And I pray this tonight in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Verse 4. But you, Daniel, go. I'm sorry. That's later. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on that river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Verse 10. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to our hearts this evening. Let's go back here to the first part of this chapter, and I'm sharing with you a message simply entitled, The Time of the End. As we read through that, you may have noticed that seemed to be an emphasis. The first point that we'll go to is the end is wonderful. This is coming from verses 1 through 3. Now, I want you to not worry about the outline too much. Let's look at the Bible and kind of work through this, okay? And so here in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, At that time, Michael shall stand up. So obviously the question that I ask myself and that you may ask yourself is, what time is he talking about? At that time. Now, if we just flow right out of chapter 11, and you may not remember this because sometimes I barely remember what I preach on stuff. But the last part of chapter 11, verses 40 through 45, seem to be talking about the Antichrist who is to come. All right? Most folks believe that there will be an Antichrist who is coming at the end, before Christ's final triumphant return. So verses 40 through 45, if that is talking about that time of the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, then in chapter 12, verse 1, we could see here that at that time, Michael, in other words, at the time of the Antichrist, Michael shall stand up. Now, who is Michael? Michael, according to Jude chapter 9, not chapter 9, verse 9, is an archangel. He was already mentioned in chapter 10, verse 13. He's the one who came and helped the other angelic being, remember, who was warring with the prince of Persia. And he withstood for 21 days from coming to Daniel. Well, Michael came and helped him, and when Michael came, that angel was able to go to Daniel and to deliver the message that he had for him. Michael is also seen in Revelation chapter 12 as fighting with the devil. Chapter 12, I think it's verse 13. And then in the book of Jude, we find there that Jude tells us that Michael contended with the devil over the body of Moses. All right, so Michael the archangel, along with Gabriel, are two of these chief angels that we know about in the Bible. Some believe that Lucifer used to be a third, and that he fell from his state because of his pride and rebellion against God. Now, let's keep going. At that time, Michael shall stand up, that great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. What does that tell us about Michael? Apparently, Michael has some particular appointed relationship or watch care over the nation of Israel. Whenever the phrase or the the terms your people are used in the book of Daniel, it's talking about the Jewish people. That's my interpretation of it. And he says here that that Michael is the prince, the great prince, who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Okay, now as we look at our Bibles and think through this a little bit, apparently Daniel here is receiving some clear prophecy about what is going to happen at the end of time. And part of what is going to happen is Daniel is going to stand, and I used to interpret this differently, to be honest with you. Now, I've had to change my interpretation when I'm studying this. This standing up of Michael is showing him standing in defense of the people of Israel, of the Jews. And the reason I would say that is because we see there later, a couple lines down, that it says, at that time your people shall be delivered, which is why the first subpoint I have here is rescuing. In verse 1, we see a rescuing of your people or of the Jewish people. There's a lot that we can talk about here in this passage. I want to ask you to turn somewhere in Matthew. If you would turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 21. Because and there's a lot in this verse. This is just verse 1. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. What's that talking about? Apparently it's talking about the great tribulation. In Matthew 24, and if you can locate verse 21, Jesus here in the Olivet Discourse, as this passage is called, talking about the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 21 says, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall be." So you notice there that that is very similar to what we just read in the book of Daniel. In verse 22, "And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Okay? Now if you go to Rome, go ahead and go to Romans chapter 11. Romans 11, 25 and 26. Now, Brother Dave is going to do a great job going through Romans 9, 10, and 11. He'll get to this passage eventually. But in Romans 11, 9 and 11, we see that there has been a hardening, a blindness of the Jews until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And then we learn what will happen here. Romans 11, 25 says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." And then in verse 26, "And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." Now, if you'll jump back over to Daniel, I just want to point out to you here that this could be a fulfillment. What we're learning about in Daniel, it could be a sister passage with these that are found in the New Testament, Matthew 24, Romans 11, and there are others. But here in verse 1, the time of trouble, such as never been since there was a nation, it doesn't say there since the nation of Israel, but it says since there was a nation. since there was even a nation upon the earth, there hasn't been a time of trouble like what is going to be seen here until that time happens. And then we saw that the people would be delivered. Let's go to verse 2. We're really blowing and going tonight, aren't we? Verse 2, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." Ah, a little quizzy poo for y'all. If I'm going with R words, I've got three R words. Guess what's next? And they all end with ing. Well, did you say resurrecting? Yeah, you got it. That's right, resurrecting. There's a rescuing, and there is a resurrecting that's taking place here. Y'all saw that in that verse, right? This is, along with about probably two other passages, this is probably the clearest passage in the Old Testament of a bodily resurrection that's going to take place in the end. Now, I'll give you a couple of other passages that you can write down if you want to. I won't have us turn there because it's going to take us too long. John 5, 28 through 29. I'm going to pull my trusty whiteboard over here. John 5, 28 through 29. And then Acts chapter 24, verse 15. Both of these are going to talk about a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Here, of the just and of the unjust. If you look at Daniel chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 2, it tells us there that some will be raised to everlasting life. That is the just. Some to shame and everlasting contempt. That is the unjust. Okay? So whether you are a saved person or a lost person, there is going to be a bodily resurrection for both one day. Okay, everybody got that? Okay. It's important to know that. All right, so then we go to verse 3. Verse 3, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." And that's, I'm not going to ask y'all what that one is, but I got raining. This appears to be a raining is what I labeled it as. But there's other passages that we could couple together with this. Shining like the brightness of the firmament. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 41 through 43, that the Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What jumps out to me about verse 3 as well is the kind of the second part of that, "and those who turn many to righteousness." Those who turn many to righteousness. And I don't know exactly what he means by that. But isn't that what the church is doing on the earth? Are we not people of the truth, who by the grace of God are seeking to turn people to righteousness, to turn them from sin and the world and the flesh, and that they would turn to God? And he tells us here, he emphasizes those who turn many to righteousness. All right, y'all have any questions on these first three verses? Aaron, you got one?
Maybe it better read after Okay.
All right. That covers our first point. Let's go to point number two. The end is sure. Verses 4 and 7. So I'm saying that the end is sure because he tells Daniel to shut up the words and to seal the book. He tells him again, actually I think it should be verse 9. And he says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So this sealing of the book shows that it is tucked away, it is secure, and it is authentic. It's not going to be tampered with. It's not going to be messed with. There's things that they used to do back in that time to ensure that a legal document was kept secure and authentic. The scribe's seal would be put on it along with a witness, and it would be tucked away, but the other copy of it would be left open for others to be able to read or for to copies to be made from that. Something along those lines. I've often wondered if this that Daniel is sealing up here is not the book of Revelation. I'm not ready to build a big case on that, but we find the scroll and it being sealed there at the beginning of the Revelation, and no one could open the seals, but there's one who could open it. It's the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who was slain. So Jesus was able to open the seals. And so I don't know if there's any connection with that, but it is interesting that he's told to do that. Number three is this: the end is not yet. The end is not yet. In verse 4, and really going through this, we see this. The end is not yet. In verse 4, he says, you know, to shut up the words and to seal the book until the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Is that happening today? Many people running to and fro? Is knowledge increasing? There's various ways to look at this. Some would interpret this by saying, okay, knowledge has increased because we know more about the coming of Christ from the New Testament scriptures. There's some who would say we know more because the kingdoms of the Medes and the Persians and of the Greeks and the Romans, that has all transpired. So that knowledge is all that something that we have attained, and we see that confirmed in Scripture. The running to and fro is a passage that's used in the Bible about the eyes of the Lord going to and fro, and various instances like that where it's used in the Bible, where a person could be looking at the Scriptures and the eyes of that person going to and fro over the Scriptures, looking at it and examining it. This could also be interpreted as though how things have so changed over history. People flying all over the world. Isn't it SpaceX that's even shooting people up into the sky now, or somebody like that up into space? Crazy things are happening. When it used to take years, decades for knowledge to double, now it's happening in a few hours because of the internet. A funny thing happened today as I was thinking back over this lesson, and Alexa came to mind. And I thought about how we ask Alexa things, you know, the round thing that's in our houses that tells us everything, is always listening to us. And I was sitting down there in the room that used to have the leak, and I finally got it fixed, and it's kind of my study now. Take advantage of it for that purpose. And I was sitting there, and I just said out loud, Alexa, how many angels can stand on the head of a needle or a head of a pin? And I forgot we had an Alexa in the room. And Alexa heard me and began to answer. And she answered and said that it could, that 300,000 to 400,000 angels could dance on the head of a pin, in case anybody was wondering about that. I know that's completely useless information, but we've increased in knowledge. And that's that's the thing is, knowledge will increase. Knowledge shall increase. And we see that more and more and more in our time today. We see it throughout history. The end is not yet. If you look at verse 5, it says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on that river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen." Now, this man clothed in linen was first appeared in chapter 8, I believe. No, chapter 10, verse 5. Chapter 10, verse 5. So he said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long shall the fulfillment of these things be?" Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, "My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And then as we've already read in verse 9, he tells Daniel, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." So we see that these things are not yet. There's some things that are going to take place. The angelic being asked this man clothed in linen, who we interpreted before as being Jesus Christ, asked him how long would be the fulfillment of these wonders. And then Daniel, in verse 8, asked, "My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" It's interesting in verse 8 that just because you have revelation doesn't mean you have understanding. And even when we have revelation, faith is still needed. Okay? Daniel had these things given to him, but he did not understand it. So he had to continue to act in faith as a person of God, a man of faith, a man of wisdom. We see that before the end comes, that the power of the holy people will be completely shattered, all these things, then all these things shall be finished. Now, if you would, turn over to Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, and Revelation 13, verse 7. Revelation 11, verse 7. I want to give this to you as a cross-reference for verse 7. Chapter 12. I find that interesting that it's verse 7 in all of these. Revelation 11, verse 7. This is talking about the two witnesses. Now, don't ask me who they are in Revelation 11, but let's just notice what happens to them. In Revelation 11, verse 7, it says, "When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them." Okay, that's these two witnesses of God. Now, if you'll go to chapter 13, verse 7. Revelation 13, verse 7. "It was granted to him," this is the beast, the Antichrist, "it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation." So this beast, which we interpret as the Antichrist, it has power to make war against the saints, and he overcomes them. So as we go back to Daniel chapter 12, verse 7, we see here at the end of this verse, it says, "And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished." The holy people here is either the Jews or it is the church, and I'll leave it at that. Let's go to our next point. The end will not be easy. We've seen that already in our reading here. We see that right there in that passage, verse 7, where the power of the holy people will be completely shattered. And then we go to the next point. The end will come while the wicked do wickedly. Because he says there in verse 10, Passages like this ought to actually sort of be comforting to us. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. If the wickedness of this world grieves you, it ought to grieve us. But we also ought to understand that the wicked are going to do wickedly. That's going to be the way it is until the end comes. And then we see point number 5. The end will come with an inheritance for the wise. And there are 2 sub-points here. The first one is this. There's an inheritance for those who endure. Man, I did it again. Till the end. Not toll the end. I might as well just quit. Those who endure. Does that say toil or toll? I can't see it. Yeah, I'm not quitting as pastor. I might just quit on PowerPoint. Those who endure till the end, there will be an inheritance. And also those who sleep before the end comes, there will be an inheritance. Now, let's see that in here. And you might notice I'm not spending a lot of time wrestling with the numbers in this chapter. I think I'll come back and do that in a later sermon. Verse 11. Now, go back to verse 10. The first part of verse 10, I can't help but think that this is the church that he's talking about. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. So during this time, this interlude, before the end comes, many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked will do wickedly. So we need not think that wickedness is conquering. Christ, through his gospel, is saving his people, drawing them to himself, adding to his church daily those who are being saved. Verse 11. And from that time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Verse 12. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. That's always puzzled me. Why 2 different numbers? 1,290, if you break that into days, that's 3.5 years. So, if you break the other one down, that's 3.65 years. I read one commentator on this, and he basically said, I have no idea what he's talking about. I'm probably going to come back and try to bring together the references where it talks about times, and half a time, 42 months, and stuff like that, and see if we can look at that. In the apocalyptic literature, if you get wrapped up in the numbers, you're going to miss the meaning of the passage. So you shouldn't get too wrapped up in this. What he seems to be saying is, it's going to be hard. Some people will make it through the hard time and then a little bit further on and through the hard time, into the difficult time. One commentator and it may not make any sense to y'all, but he gave an illustration of a dog. There were a bunch of dogs who were being euthanized in a city pound, and they were left over the weekend. They were put in like a gas chamber thing, and they came back that next Monday morning and opened it up expecting to find all these dead carcasses of dogs in there. And there was one dog sitting there with his tongue wagging whose name was Quentin. And Quentin made it through the difficult time, and he came out at the end. So it could be that this 1,335 days is talking about going through this tribulation time. There may be saints who suffer and die for the sake of the gospel, and there may be those who continue on and make it all the way through beyond that. I don't know. So there is an inheritance for these, but in verse 13, we see this, though it's an inheritance for those who sleep. Daniel was promised this. He says, but you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. So Daniel will not be left out. None of the saints who die in the Lord will be left out. They will rise. And that's what Paul is dealing with somewhat in 1 Thessalonians 4. When he tells the church that we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. And the reason is because Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ will rise. And he's saying here that Daniel, you're going to rise one day. You're not going to miss out on the inheritance, just like none of the people of God ever will. I think that's all the points that I have for this passage tonight. Daniel chapter 12. Maybe that'll give us a little bit of familiarity with this chapter and with this book. My game plan right now is to probably pick out a couple of things. For instance, the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation. I want to do a study on that, just the abomination of desolation, because Jesus talks about this in Matthew 24. He talks about the abomination of desolation, which Daniel spoke of. So we'll do a study on that. I also want to do a study on the thrones that Daniel sees and that we also see in the book of Revelation, and perhaps some of the number stuff. But if there's anything in particular you would like to us to do a study on, learn more about, that we've run across in this book, please let me know. Okay? Yeah, Aaron?
Desolation, the abomination of desolation you're talking about in Matthew 24, is that different from the Maccabean time period that you talked about from Daniel 9?
Yep. Okay. Yep, that's a great question. So the way that works out, y'all remember me talking about Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, right? The crazy guy, the Syrian ruler. And in 167, from 167 to 164, he caused a lot of problems for the Jewish people. He's the one who brought a pig into the temple and sacrificed it on the altar, and that was considered, and we can go back to Daniel and see this, an abomination of desolation. So there was an abomination that took place. The temple was desolate, the people of God were desolate, and because that pig was sacrificed on the altar, it was an abomination. Okay? So that's one instance of that. But that happened in 160s. Jesus in Matthew 24 is saying that you're going to see the abomination of desolation that Daniel talked about. You can jump over there, Matthew 24. So in verse 15, prior to this, he's been talking about the birth pangs. In verse 15, he begins to talk about the great tribulation. And Jesus says in verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And he goes on from there. He talks about a great time of tribulation in verse 21 that we read earlier. So Jesus, at the time that he spoke this and taught this, was still saying there's going to come a time of abomination, a time of desolation. Now the question is, when does that happen? Has it already happened? It may have already happened, depending upon your end time view. Some would say it happened at the destruction of the temple in A.D. 70, when the Romans, led by Titus, the general Titus, destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. Some would say that what Jesus is talking about here has not yet happened, and it will happen when the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, sets himself up in the temple of God as though he is God at the end of time before Christ returns. That's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So the abomination is a near and a far thing. It's something that has already happened, but it is yet to happen, most likely. So I don't know. Does that kind of answer your question? That's the way some of this literature is. There's a near fulfillment, and there's a far fulfillment of it. And Daniel's going to get it. You know, when he rises one day from the dead, he's going to say, that's how all this, because he didn't understand. He heard it and knew it, but he didn't understand it. But one day he's going to understand it because he's going to be able to look back and see how it happened. And that's the way it will be with us too. Anybody else?
Places about being wise, those who are wise in verse 3, and then in verse 10, the wise shall understand.
Yeah.
What is it about the, was it like, I assume that's the church that we're talking about, and what is it that we're...
What makes one person wise and another not? Is that...
Yeah, like I guess I'm wondering what is that wisdom, because and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. What is it that we're to understand? Are we supposed to recognize that of what God is doing in that? Is that kind of what it's speaking to?
Well, that's a great question. As you all think about wisdom in the Bible, what makes a person wise or a person? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. Okay. In Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says that. I had the same question, and it really came back to me to some of these basic answers. Daniel was a man who obviously feared God. And in chapter 1, verse 17, it says, God gave him knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel was a man who feared God, lived for God, had a faith in God, and God blessed him and was with him. Wise people are people who fear God and have faith in God and seek to live for Him even in difficult times. That's the way I would kind of summarize that. That's a really good question. I noticed that same thing. Somebody else might have something else to contribute there on that. Anybody else? Yep. So Daniel is in the... You go back to chapter 11. Let's see. Actually, you go back to chapter 10. And it's in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia.
So 10, 11, and 12 were all...
Yep. 10, 11, and 12 were all going together. So it would have been around 536 B.C. 10, 11, and 12 were all one big vision. Download that's given to Daniel about what's going to happen in the future, history, world history, but also at the end of time. That's a lot for somebody, isn't it? Hell. Somebody, one commentator noted this, that Daniel's responses to his revelations in chapter 7, verse 28, I was deeply troubled by my thoughts and my face turned pale. Chapter 8, 17, I was terrified and fell prostrate. Chapter 8, 27, I was appalled by the vision. 9:3, I pleaded in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. Chapter 10, verse 2, various verses in chapter 10, he mourned. He was deathly pale. He was trembling. He was overcome with anguish. He did not, and then in chapter 12, verse 8, he did not understand. I did not understand, it says. So, the things that he saw were overwhelming. So, even though he had all that, it still took faith. And we got to remember that no matter what knowledge or understanding we have to have faith in God. We have to have faith in the Son of God, who is our advocate before the Father. And he is coming back. He is coming back. Read Daniel and then read the book of Revelation. And they really go hand in hand, these last parts of the book of Daniel. Anybody else? All right, thanks for being here tonight. I hope that was somewhat helpful to you. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this time where we've really endured a little bit going through the book of Daniel. I confess it's not easy. But Lord, we come to your word and every part of it, from Genesis to Revelation, because we believe it's your word and we need to hear it. And Lord, I pray that even though we may not have understanding into all these things, we do have understanding into some of it. Some of it's real clear. We don't have to think too hard on some of it. But Lord, on the parts where we don't understand, Father, I confess that our understanding will not keep us from believing it. We want to believe your word. And I pray, Father, that as you see fit, that we will receive revelation, further understanding, rather, into the revelation that we've been given in Scripture. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is surely coming back one day. I pray we will all be ready for his return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for your attention. You're dismissed.